Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the Mission Church at the Summit. We're going to start our class, okay? I want everyone's attention. This workshop is the pursuit.
What?
Nope.
How about the five pillars of an effective leadership team?
The five pillars of an effective.
What's that going? What? I forgot wrong notes.
The five pillars of effective leadership, okay? Our presenter is Pat Quigley, and we're going to start right now.
All right. It says I got 2 minutes, but I'll start now if you need.
And mind you, all this is being recorded, so they're hearing our conversation.
This is good.
Beautiful?
We have a great conversation. Yes. Danny, you're amazing.
And this workshop is sponsored by Danimal and Mankiewicz CPA. Okay, we can start. We have an extra minute.
Thank you. Well, good morning, everybody.
Morning.
How y'all doing?
Good.
I'm here feeling awake and alive.
Woo.
Okay, good, good, good. Come on in. If you want to keep your squeeze in however you can. Well, good morning. I'm like looking. I don't even see my wife here this morning. Oh, there she is. Oh. I was like going, she found a better class to go to? Jeez Louise. So, well, my name is David Quigley, and I have the privilege of pastoring Asbury Church in Lansing, New York. I also serve on the Presbytery of the New York Ministry Network, and my beautiful bride is here, Rachel, and she hates it when I say she's my beautiful bride, but she is so beautiful. So anyway, well, hey, as we get ready to start, so this workshop is on five pillars of an effective leadership team, and so help me understand who's in the room this morning. So how many lead pastors do we have? If that's you, just kind of wave it around there. Okay, got a few of them. How many staff pastors? Okay, a few of them. I know you're the shy ones. You're not sure if you want to be here. How about board members? Any board members? Okay, good. Some board. How many are you just other? Okay, good. You're feeling awesome and excellent.
If you don't have a copy, we're going to make some extras. Raise your hand.
If you have an empty seat, push it in.
All right, we got a few more. All right. Well, I'm so glad that you're here. We're going to just have a fun conversation around the idea of five pillars of an effective leadership team. So one of the things that I think is an amazing privilege is when individuals have an opportunity to serve on a team, and what makes a team effective. But as we begin, I just want to ask a simple question, and it's we have not enough time to get a whole lot of feedback, though that would be a ton of fun. But the question I have is this: what is the purpose of a pillar? What is the purpose of a pillar? Now, a pillar supports weight. How many know that a pillar supports weight? But how many know its purpose isn't just supporting weight, it's also to define and create spaces? Y'all get me on this one? And this is why I think pillars are so important, because what pillars do is not only do they support weight, but they define and create space so that a purpose may be accomplished. And because of this, the quality of the pillar matters. And the truth is if it can't support the weight, it will be unable to properly define the space and unable to accomplish the purpose. And so the big idea that we're just going to kind of talk about as we go through this, let me just make sure I do the right one, is oh, come on, technology, my thing, real quick. Boom. Come on. Where'd it go? Jeez Louise. All right, here we go. Okay, next one. I have this: the quality of the pillars impacts the accomplishment of our purpose. And this is why we need good pillars. And so we're going to talk about five of them. But before we do, I have three assumptions about every team. I believe that if you're serving on a team, I believe that three assumptions are always in play. The first assumption is that you've been given a seat at the table. How many believe that our God is strategic? And that our God is a God who places people and for times and seasons. And so I believe that if you're serving on a team, whether it's on a staff, if you're on a board, if you're working in a ministry team at a church, you have been strategically placed. I love what 1 Corinthians 12:18 says. It says, in fact, God has placed the parts of the body, every one of them, just as he wanted them to be. And so whatever table you are at, God has placed you at a table. The second assumption I have is this: is that you have been uniquely shaped for the season that you're serving. That God has been working in your life from the beginning all the way up to date. And that he's been working in you and on you To help accomplish a divine purpose, we can look at Ephesians 2:10 that says, you are created in Christ Jesus to do good works which God has ordained in advance for you to do. And so there's this idea that if you're serving on a team, I want you to know you've been uniquely shaped for the season. And then thirdly, if you're serving on a team, you have something to contribute. And this is where you have to learn to develop your leadership voice for the benefit of the organization you're serving. For the lead pastors who are in the room, I would just help remind you that part of our job as lead pastors and leaders on teams is to help people develop their leadership voices. Because not only have we been given a seat at the table, people have been strategically shaped, and they have something to contribute. And I believe that God is up to something in his church to do amazing things. And so as we talk about five pillars of effective leadership teams, I want to talk about five ideas. And the first pillar is simply this, that if you're going to serve on a team, you need to be a person with conviction. And that conviction is that you are serving with purpose and you are serving on purpose. That you need to be a person of conviction. What is conviction? Conviction is a firmly held belief or opinion. Now, how many know in this room there are lots of firmly held beliefs and opinions? Can I get a witness on this one? All right. We won't go to the Yankees and Mets. No. Because we love Jesus, right? Like we talk about opinions. Like we can talk about, you know, Democrats, Republicans. We got opinions. We can talk about how we do all sorts of things. And part of that is actually a function of the convictions that you have. Things that are firmly held beliefs that are important to you. Now, this is what's great about conviction. What conviction does is it moves and motivates people. Because conviction focuses attention and inspires people to serve, stretch, and sacrifice. And if you're going to serve on a team, if you're going to have an effective leadership team, you need to be a person and you need to be a team that has conviction. You see, conviction always seeks to answer the question, what's important? And so I just want to address, there are lots of different convictions. I have a whole bunch of them. But I want to note three important convictions for every member of a leadership team that you need to have. All right, so the first one is simply this, is that the mission matters. Everybody say the mission matters.
The mission matters.
I want you to know, if you're serving on a team, the mission matters. The mission is why we exist. And I would just note this. So, like, this is something that I am a deep believer in, that the mission matters. Especially if you're serving, you need to have a conviction about it. And if you are indifferent to the place that you're serving, you need to ask God to either set a fire in you or give up your seat. Because if you're serving on a team, the mission matters. I love what John Maxwell said. He said this. He said, the goal is more important than the role. Amen. Like the reason the team is serving, the reason that you're leading, you're a part of something, is because the mission matters. Amen. And we need to be laser focused on the mission that we serve. Now, we all know the temptations of life. That there are so many distractions. And I don't know about you. I've been a part of church for a few years. I'm a pastor's kid, so it like explains a whole lot of my dysfunction. But have you ever noticed that in the church, sometimes we major on the minors and we minor on the majors? And I'm convinced that if we're going to be effective leadership teams, we need to understand that we're people of conviction, and that a conviction is that the mission matters. Now, how many think that's a pretty good one? The second one I think is more important. Success in the mission matters more. Because how many know there's a lot of people that believe in the mission of the church, but they're not always committed and convicted about the success of the mission of the church? Because how many know that we're actually called to make a difference? There is a work that we need to see accomplished. Actually, the whole idea of being effective is to be successful in producing a desired or intended result. And so if you're serving on a team, I want you to know conviction matters. Like the mission matters, and not only the mission, but success in the mission matters. And then the third thing I would note is this, is there needs to be a conviction that the next generation matters. Because how many know that our responsibility is to multiply ourselves and not just, like, if we do the work and there's nobody that comes behind us, how many know that we haven't served well? And we haven't done the job. And this is why I think that if you're serving on any team, there needs to be, we need to be people of conviction, people who recognize what's important, and we are ready to engage the energy, to be moved, to be motivated, to be willing to sacrifice for what matters. Okay, pillar number two. What we need is credibility. That if you're going to serve well as a team, you need to act in a trustworthy manner. This pillar, this I think, and just so you know, I had fun. I did this whole talk with my church board. It was so much fun because we had all this fun conversation around this. And we're like, guys, listen, credibility matters. And they're like, absolutely. Because it's answering the simple question, can we be trusted? Like, can we be trusted? And just so you know, it's not just in the big things, but also in the small things. Are we reliable? Are we dependable? And I think we have to learn to ask questions around credibility. And I would just say this, that you as a member that serves on a leadership team is, do you have credibility with yourself? How many know that sometimes we wrestle with a little bit of self-doubt? How many of you, you're like, man, I got issues, right? Like, how many know every church board, every missions team, like every team you're a part of, they have issues. Like, there's issues that kind of percolate. And sometimes we wrestle with our own credibility. Is our character consistent with our calling? Do our actions align with our assignments? And sometimes there can be a bit of a crisis of faith that happens in us simply because we haven't developed the disciplines necessary for the places that we are actually called to serve. I recognize that as leaders, we need the gospel too. Can I get a witness on this one? And I love what the gospel does. The gospel rescues, redeems, and restores. And we need to allow the grace of God to work in us so that even as we serve, that we might serve as faithful servants of God. Another question we need to be asking regarding credibility is, do you have credibility with the people you serve? Without credibility, the team will not have the confidence of others to lead or to enact needed changes. And part of this is that the congregations, the ministries we serve, the people that we're serving, do they actually trust us? Now, I would just note this as leaders, and I don't care what board or wherever you serve. This is such a big idea. Did you know that as a leader, your life gives permission? Like, you know this as parents. How many know that as a parent, your life gives permission? Yeah. That your life, that the way that you live gives permission for other people to live just like you. And this is why we have to be really mindful of our credibility, because sometimes our credibility is squandered as leaders with the people we serve because of how we're living. And we need to say, God, would you help me live a life that honors and reflects what we've been called to? The third question to ask regarding credibility is, do you have credibility with the people you serve with? Do you have credibility with the people that you serve with on the team? Have we been faithful to our word? Are we dependable? Are we a team player? Now, I've served on enough boards, and I've served on enough committees and at enough churches. I know there's always those people that are take my ball and go home kind of people. Do you know what I'm talking about? Yeah. They don't get their way. And then this is like, that's it, I'm done, I'm out. Yeah. Right? And part of it is sometimes there's an erosion of our credibility with the people that we serve. And because of it, you're not able to lead at the level that God is calling you to lead. So I would recognize that the second pillar that we need is credibility. And that's a really big idea. I got third one, courage. Good news on this one, Pastor Choco addressed a whole bunch of this. I'm like going, dude, what is he doing, right? If you're going to serve on a committee or on a team, on an effective leadership team, you need to actually have courage. I think this is a huge one. That is the willingness to face the difficult things today for a better tomorrow. You see, one of the challenges of serving on boards and teams is sometimes we have to manage risk. And sometimes in managing risk, we become risk adverse. And we become unwilling to do the difficult things. And you and I just want you to think that the teams that you serve on, the places that you see, the places where you serve, a question to ask is, what are we risking? Because sometimes in the decisions that we're making, what we're doing is we are responding to a moment and robbing our future. And sometimes we recognize the importance of the future, and so we're willing to deal with some difficulty in our moment. You see, I think we all have to, as we serve, to demonstrate courage. Let me ask you, when was the last time you risked something? When was the last time you risked? Now, I know we all wrestle with fears. Fear can cause us to freeze, to fight, to flee, all these wonderful things. But I'm convinced that steps of faith are necessary. And steps of faith require us to step into difficult places and to try something new and to cause a little bit of internal dissonance. Yes. Now, I've had the opportunity the last couple of years to help teach my son how to ski. Anybody here like to ski? Okay, like I love skiing. And the thing that you have to teach people about skiing is you have to learn to lean into your fear. Because what ends up happening is when you get on something that's really steep, the tendency is to lean back. And leaning back is not always helpful. And you have to lean into it. And I'm convinced that sometimes in the places that we serve, if we're going to be effective, we actually have to lean into it with courage. See, courage can look differently at different times for different teams. Courage can sometimes be willing to try something new and sticking with it and seeing it through. Courage is sometimes the willingness to confront the reality of the situation that you are in. I love what Jim Collins said. He said this. He said that you absolutely cannot make a series of good decisions without first confronting the brutal facts. Do we have the courage to really understand the reality that we're a part of? Like, do we have the courage to face the reality of how effective is our church being? How effective is this ministry? Right. Do we have the courage to look at what are our trends? What are our statistics? Like, what is it that we're running into? Where do we need to change? Do we have the courage to do it? See, courage, again, sometimes try new things and sticking with it. Sometimes it's confronting the reality of a situation you're in. Sometimes courage is making a difficult decision that is not always a popular decision. So I want you to think about, again, yourself, your team. What is a bold decision your leadership team has made in the last 6 to 12 months? What faith did it require of you? And I'm convinced that if you're going to be an effective team, you actually have to lean into courage, because courage is the willingness to face difficult things today for a better tomorrow. All right, here we go. Pillar number 4. Curiosity. That if you're going to be an effective team, there needs to be a part of you that is curious, where there's a willingness to ask questions and explore possibilities. Okay, so this is just something that I think. Deferring to what we've always done is an abdication of leadership. Does that make sense? How many know that sometimes in the church, like, well, that's not the way we do it around here? We like to do the things we're familiar with. But sometimes when we're deferring to our history, to what's always been done, we're actually abdicating our leadership. Sometimes in churches we say it's always been done that way. Well, maybe it's time for a new way. Now, Jim Collins talks about this. I love the book Built to Last. He talks about the importance of preserving the core and stimulating progress. There's this whole idea that there are things that make the church, that the church needs to be about, but the ways in which we do it may need to change. One of the ways that I think that we can begin to do this is actually to begin to lead with questions and not answers. One of the things that I've discovered as I've gotten older, and I know I'm not old. You're like, he's got so many years to go. Wisdom is found in not knowing the right answers, but knowing how to ask the right questions. Like, that's really where wisdom is at, is learning to ask the right questions. You see, as you think about the things that you seek to accomplish as a ministry or as a church, like, what are the questions that need answering for you to move into the future? And I think that's where the curiosity arises. Are we asking the right questions? I remember hearing once somebody, you know, wrestling with the whole idea of, can we afford it? How many know that in church, many times, the whole question is, can we afford it? Right? How many you've asked that question? Feeding of the 5,000, my favorite. You know, Jesus is like, hey, guys, you're up. Feed the people. And they're like, dude, it's going to take 9 months' wages. And where are we going to come up with that? Right? Like, we so often go to questions like this. Maybe the better question is, can we afford it? Maybe a better question than that is simply, how can we afford it? Because if it's something that's important for where we need to go and what we need to do as a church, maybe the question isn't, can we afford it, but how can we afford it? And actually begin to explore, well, what possibilities may arise so that we can move to where we need to be? Asking the right questions. I think that curiosity helps stimulate progress and that it helps foster innovation. That what is it that we're doing next? And we need to learn to explore possibilities. We need, and one of the ways to do this is to experience, to have fresh experience and fresh experiences and outside voices. This is why I think it's so incredibly brilliant of you. I want you to know today, you're brilliant. Look at your neighbor and say, you're brilliant. Some of you may feel like you're a 10-watt bulb, but don't worry, you're brilliant. Because do you know the way that you grow your curiosity is you actually have new experiences and you allow new voices to speak into your life. Okay, so one of the things I remember in school growing up was learning about World War II. So this is just a fun story. This is just, and the story was this, is that one of the byproducts of World War II was actually a change in the genes because you had all these nations kind of mixing together. And it created new strength and all these different things, like actually positive things, which was interesting because if you look at some different cultures where they have, shall we say, a lot of inbreeding, what ends up happening is their kids get more and more funny looking, if you know what I'm talking about. Okay, I think ideas are the same way. That a church that only accesses its own ideas, how many know sometimes they create some pretty funny looking children? And this is why you actually need outside experiences and outside voices. It's what's making you brilliant today. So as you go through the rest of the day, just remind people, I'm feeling a little brilliant. Pillar four is curiosity. Okay, pillar number five. Oh, there's that one. I'm really slow on this PowerPoint thing, let me tell you. Usually someone's doing it for me. I talk, they hit the buttons. Anyways. Pillar five, I think that if you're going to be an effective leadership team, is you actually need to be a team that demonstrates and practices clear communication. Communication that is open, honest, and transparent. And the way you do it is you keep it simple and you keep it clear. I think effective teams communicate well. And they are intentional about it and they put a lot of effort into communicating clearly. How many know that clear communication takes work? It doesn't always just happen. And I think part of what we need to do is we have to communicate and over-communicate, not with just with the people we serve, but with one another. Like, there needs to be ongoing communication. Because how many know that as we serve and as we lead, we actually begin to cast expectations on other people?
Yes.
And the truth is they don't always seem to respond to our expectations. And sometimes the issue is that we actually haven't communicated our expectations clearly. And I have learned as a leader that it is not fair to hold people to expectations that have not been properly communicated. Can I get a witness on that one? Right? We need to be a people who communicate. So I think this is a really interesting kind of idea. So this is a book by Michael Hyatt. I think it's called, it's in the back. But he has the vision grid. And so this is actually a vision grid idea. But you can take vision and you can just cross that word out, or you could add to it and put idea. How many know that communication, a whole part of it, is actually the transmission of an idea? I have an idea that I'm trying to get to you. Can you understand my idea? And I love this because it goes from, it's got that one axis that says abstract to concrete. Yeah. Like, I think sometimes the reason our communication isn't clear is because what we're communicating is really quite abstract. Mm-hmm. And because of it, people are just like, okay, so what is this? Isn't it great that when Jesus taught people, he taught people in some ways kind of abstractly, but he used very concrete situations. Yeah. So if I talk about the parable of the sower, how many of you are like going, oh, okay, that, like, yeah, a man goes up to sow a seed. Oh yeah, now the seed is the word of God and the soil of the different hearts. And all of a sudden it becomes clear because instead of something just being abstract, he made something more concrete. Mm-hmm. And one of the things that I think we have to do as leaders working in teams is to gauge our communication. How well are we fleshing out our ideas? And I love the verse that says, the word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. The idea of the word becoming flesh was to help others make sense of what God was trying to say. And one of the things that we have to practice, and just, you know, this is an incredibly hard discipline, is to flesh out what are we trying to communicate. And part of the challenge is this, is some people are external processors, some people are internal processors. External processors process their ideas out here. Internal processors process them in here, right? And sometimes you get a board that has a mix of different kinds of people, and sometimes like Bobby over here is just like talking because he's got all his ideas that he's just working through out here, right? And Sally's sitting over here and she's just like sitting back and just kind of quiet. And I think what we have to do, like, again, you've got a seat at the table. God's placed you there. You've got something to say. You got to figure out how to say it. And if we're going to do communication clearly, guess what? If you're an external processor, you need to learn to pause a little bit. Everybody say pause.
Pause.
Man, you got to slow down a little bit. What I just heads up, I'm an external processor. Yeah, you're like, that's your problem. That's one of them, right? That's one of them, right? And so one of the things that I've done is I actually, because my mind is like this, I'll actually pause and I'll just write down, okay, so if I am going to say something, what's the one thing I'm going to say? Pause and print. Okay, if you're an internal processor, okay, use your voice. And I understand, and just so you know, one of the things to voice is this, because I understand internal processors don't always process ideas quickly. And how many know that doesn't mean they're stupid? And you know what it's okay to say as an internal processor? That's a really interesting idea. Let me think about that. Did you know simply by communicating that on the team you're a part of, you're communicating, I'm actually engaged. And sometimes you just have to give that voice. That's a great idea. Let me think about that. Some of you need to write that down. But then I would also note the other thing that internal processors have to do is they also have to value the conversation. The conversation needs to happen. Because again, if we're going to do these things, we actually have to be able to work through this. Okay, so, and as a part of this, we need to make sure that we're also taking responsibility to be good communicators. And again, I will say this, if you're on the team, your ideas and insights are important. So are the ideas and that of the others on the team. And you know, there needs to be communication. And if something isn't clear, ask. Hey, help me understand this a little bit better. See, wouldn't it be amazing if you sat on a team where everybody actually encouraged one another so that you could actually leave the room very clear on what next looks like? All right. keys to good communication. I don't have time to go through all of these, but they're on your list. Things like, is our communication consistent, timely, and connecting? And you can just think about those ideas, and you'll be a genius at the end of the day. Okay, because I have to wrap. I've already gotten the 5-minute warning. We're coming up to 2. The quality of our pillars impacts the accomplishment of our purpose. Okay, like, just heads up. The quality of the pillars of your team, every team is actually situated on pillars. And those pillars need to be designed to support weight, as well as to define and create a space so that a purpose may be accomplished. And the thing that I just want to challenge you with is this, is to actually take time to reflect on the leadership teams that you serve on and rate yourself on a scale of 1 to 5 on these 5 areas. Like, okay, so the team that you're on, when it comes to the idea of conviction, what is the conviction level of our team? On a scale of 1 to 5. Maybe it's like, okay, so where's our credibility as a team? And it may be that your credibility is really high. It may be that you've made some things that you haven't followed through on, your credibility is low. Like, what number? How would you rate yourself? What about courage? Are we a team that's actually demonstrating courage? Like, how has it been seen? How is it evident? How is it witnessed? Next would be curiosity. How curious are we as a team? Like, how engaged are we with issues? How engaged are we on just kind of figuring out what possibilities do we need to explore as we move forward? And then to ask, hey, how do we rate when it comes to clear communication? And then as you do that, this is what I think this is why this is actually a fun exercise. Is actually, as you do this, just to simply say, okay, so if I had to work on one pillar over the next 3 months, what could I do to help increase the capacity, whether it's your own individual or that of the team? How can I do this? Because this is, again, what I simply believe. The mission that we've been given is important, and success in the mission matters more. And you've been brought to the table. You've been given a voice. You've been given an opportunity. You've been shaped for the season that you're a part of. And may God work in your hearts and through your lives in such a way so that his glory is seen again and again and again. So as we lead, let us lead with excellence. Let us be effective in accomplishing the purpose. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Let me pray for you. Father, I thank you for these amazing and brilliant people. God, I thank you that you're the God that has placed them strategically in the churches that they are. And God, I thank you for the gift that they get to be to that congregation. And I pray, God, that you'll continue to shape them for the season that they're a part of. Lord, I thank you that there is so much that you are calling us to do too. And God, I just ask your blessing on each one. Lord, as they go through the remainder of this day, God, fill their hearts, fill their minds. God, encourage them. God, may this be an amazing season of ministry for your glory, in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Amen. God bless you guys.
Amen. Let's hear it for Pastor Kirkley.